fat and fast. What do they have to do with each other? If you want to burn fat fast, what do you need to do? Do you need to exercise faster to burn fat? Do you need to fast from your food to burn fat faster? And are they very controversial questions at the moment? Most importantly, because as a human race, how are we doing physically? Is it possible that we are fatter, sicker, weaker, more depressed, more diseased than we've ever been? And as an exercise professional, or as a parent, a teacher, a coach, as a person who wants the world to be healthy or healthier, what do we need to know about how does the body get fat? Where does that fat come from? How does the body store fat? How does the body utilize fat inside the body? How do we burn it up? How do we burn it up faster? And more importantly than any other question, I believe, how do we reduce the risk of the body getting fat in the first place? Is it possible that most people go to the gym, to a personal trainer, to an exercise professional, to a boot camp, they buy a pill, powder, potion or diet program because they have a problem, and the problem is excess fat or excess weight? So to try and get rid of the excess weight, the problem, they look for a solution. So then we come in as exercise professionals or gym owners or personal trainers or boot camp instructors and go, okay, well, here's how you burn fat fast. But do we actually know how that happens? And the reason I ask that question is, doesn't matter what my opinion is, doesn't matter what your opinion is it possible that there are other people with a different opinion? Even more interesting, is it possible that there are people who do opposing, completely contradicting things to be lean, to be fit, to be strong, to be healthy? They are healthy, fit, strong and lean, but they do exactly the opposite things. I'll give you a really cool example. I went to a bodybuilding competition and the senior male class, and I say that the open class, it came down to two men and they eliminated everybody else and they just kept having these. The poor guys had to keep posing and posing and posing because it was really obvious that you couldn't tell the difference between the two. Their faces were completely different, but after that, they looked exactly the same. So the size of their body, how tall they were, how wide they were, every striation on every single muscle was obvious, but they looked exactly the same, the pair of them. And the judges couldn't work out who was going to win, so they just had to keep posing and posing and posing, and every single muscle in their body was being analysed, which guy's better. Turns out that yes, that one guy won the competition, the other one got second, but it was a very controversial competition because it was obvious that even the judges couldn't tell the difference between these two bodies. Now, because I love to find out about people, I go and talk to both of these blokes. Turns out that they had opposing exercise plans and completely contradicting eating plans from each other. So even though their bodies were exactly the same size, their muscles were extremely ripped, striated, buff and beautiful. One guy ate completely differently to the other one, and one guy exercised or trained completely differently to the other one. So they literally had completely opposite eating and exercise plans, but they looked exactly the same. They're even the same age. So how the hell does that happen? Surely there's a question there that says, should we find out what's best for each individual person? So first of all, what's the outcome that you want? How do you want to look? How do you want to feel? What's important to you? And then the process that we take to get there, could it be more important that we focus on what's going to be best for the person and their lifestyle rather than telling them what to eat or telling them how to exercise? So that's just one thing to consider. Then when it comes to the definition of fast exercise or fasting for your body to get the fastest results, there is again a lot of controversial and contradicting information. So as an exercise professional, how do we work it out? It doesn't matter which physiologist, cardiologist, endocrinologist, psychologist you go to, they're all going to have different science that say different things about how and why is the best way to get the body into great shape, how to get it fit, how to get it strong, and how to get it lean. So once again, if the scientists can't agree and the science doesn't agree, then as an exercise professional, what do we do? So I've got this interesting question. I always like to, of course, ask the unique individual person in front of me, what do you want? Why is that important to you? Where would you like it to happen? When would you like it to happen? How will you feel if it does happen? How will you feel if it doesn't happen? Are you on track or off track to making it happen? If you were your own high-performance eating and exercise coach, what advice would you give yourself and me as your high-performance eating and exercise coach? What do you want from me? Now, that's the overview of each individual person. How could I train somebody? How could I help somebody if I don't know all of those things to start with? Interestingly, if you ask those questions, everybody gives a different answer. Everybody has a different goal. Everybody has a different reason why they want to achieve that goal. Everybody has a different place that they want to achieve it. They have a different time frame that they want to achieve it in. Some people are on track and some people are off track and some people are half on track to achieving their goal. And the interesting one is when you ask people, if you were your own high performance eating and exercise coach, what advice would you give yourself? The answers are from literally one end of the scale to the other. There are people who absolutely passionately believe that they should be vegan vegetarian and that's the only way to get healthy. There's other people who absolutely passionately believe that they should be carnivore and that's the only way to get healthy. And everything in between. There are people that believe they should be exercising every day, people who believe they should be exercising once a week, people who believe they should exercise for 10 seconds, and people who believe that if you don't do at least an hour, you shouldn't be wasting your time. So what do we do? What does the science say? And that's not really something that we can go to because that's really contradicting and controversial. If you look at people who are lean and healthy, fit and strong, they're all doing different things to get there. There is one interesting group, however, that the scientists are beginning now to take a very close look at because they are very difficult to understand. And you've probably got somebody in your life like this, maybe a few people. What's with the people who eat whatever they want, whenever they want, and it seems to be that they eat in large amounts, but they don't get fat? They're usually the people that most people don't like very much. How the hell can you eat all of that and not go to the gym 5 days a week or 7 days a week and still look the way you do? It's just not fair. And the answer to that is often, well, it's genetics or it's their lifestyle or they've just got a fast metabolism. Often when you ask those people, how are you doing or how is life for you, there's one of two things. One is they're really annoyed because they're trying to put on weight, and that's usually the blokes. They're trying to put on muscle size. They're trying to be a bigger person. And doesn't matter how much they eat or how much exercise they do, they can't seem to put on any weight. And then there's the people who they just live a normal life and there's absolutely no focus on food, there's no focus on exercise, they just don't care. And I'll say it again, they eat when they're hungry, they stop eating when they're full. They eat whatever is available at the time because they're hungry. They drink whatever they want. They have, it seems to be, a really interesting attitude towards life. Now, again, when you study these people, which is what the scientists are now studying carefully and closely, is how their human body works differently than the people that are overweight. Now, could that be a great question? What is different between people who are really thin, lean, can eat whatever they want and don't seem to put on any weight, and the people who seem to look at a piece of something and put on weight, or they just can't seem to lose weight? Doesn't matter what they do, they can't seem to lose weight. And that's where there might be an answer. And just for you to consider, because I'm not a scientist, and if I was a scientist, I'd be disagreeing with another scientist, so it's a silly conversation. But how about we consider this? And this is the difference between fast and fat, fat and fast. Is it possible that a human body that moves faster at anything that it does would require more energy? And we always use the car analogy. Is it possible that a car that is driving faster burns more fuel than a car that's driving slower? Mm-hmm. If you push the car harder, does it burn more fuel? And if you just keep driving it rather than leaving it sitting in the garage, does it burn more fuel? Is it possible that if we can get people just more active, more moving, that their body would require more calories to survive? So they would either burn up the calories that are on their body, the excess calories, or they would need to put more calories in, which is that great question. If you want to eat more, do more. If you move less, you'll need to eat less. Now, that's just a statement I'm putting out there. Is it possible that that's what happens with the human body? But there's a really interesting group that they're studying now, and it's to do with a research study that was done a very long time ago. And Cayman and I have been sharing this with the general public, well, for as long as I've known Cayman, which is 30 years now, is what is it with people who move a lot? Not just move a lot, though, but they move fast. And the research was done, I think, in the 60s or 70s, so it's pretty old research. But it was people who, and I'm sure you've got some of these people in your life too, they're just always moving. And we call them fidgeters, people who just can't keep still. And I've got a really interesting question there, because I think that that is most children. Most kids don't want to keep still, have you noticed? They just want to get up and run around. They want to play. If you give them something to play on, they will. If you give them a bike, they'll ride it. If you give them a scooter, they'll be on it. If you give them a skateboard, they'll do something with it. It seems that as little kids, unless we're told don't do that, it's bad for you, or you'll hurt yourself, and if we keep hearing that, we'll probably stop. But it seems that the human body is designed to move around, and as little kids, we do. Is it possible that if we keep doing that throughout our entire life, that there's some kind of chemical response in our body that has to keep us going for moving? If we know that we're going to be moving, this is where the brain scientists come in. If you tell yourself that you have to get up and go for a run, or you're going to go to the gym, or you're going to do an exercise program, the neuroscientists suggest that your body starts producing those action chemicals to get you ready to exercise before you even move. So epinephrine and adrenaline, they're already getting going. If you're lying in bed thinking about going for a run, your body's starting to produce those chemicals to get you ready to do it. So if we keep our body active our entire life, starting from when we're children, and we just keep moving, now whether that's sitting up and down, whether that's talking really fast, whether that's just wanting to stand up and go outside and play. We often hear parents say to kids, sit down, be quiet, stop moving around, stop running around. What if we change that? And the reason I ask that question, of course, is I'm not sure that we can change adults, but wouldn't it be nice for our kids to grow up in a world where they didn't have to lose weight, that the problem of losing weight requiring a solution, which is exercise and a diet plan, which is what most people are doing at the moment, wouldn't it be nice if our kids never had to go through that? They just remained really active, so they stayed standing, they kept playing outside, they kept moving really fast. One of the other things we do if a child's talking really fast, we tell them to slow down. If they're moving around really fast, we go, slow down, calm down, it's all right. But is it possible that a human body that is doing everything fast is more likely to burn everything fast? It requires energy to talk fast. It requires energy to move your body fast. It requires energy to sit up and down. It requires energy to move around. Is it possible that as a human race, if you watch most humans now, what are we doing? Are we moving fast or slow? Are we talking fast or slow? Are we doing our work fast or slow? Are we doing our housework fast or slow? Are we washing the car fast or slow? And the list is endless. Reverse that. If I keep putting fat on, if I keep getting fatter, is it possible that my ability to move fast is reduced? There's another really interesting factor there, that when you look at the muscular system, there are two, or technically three, kinds of muscles: fast twitch muscle fibers and slow twitch muscle fibers. And fast twitch have two kinds. And the human body, being the adaptive mechanism that it is, if we stop moving fast, the muscle that wastage that we have as we get older is usually the fast twitch muscle fibers, which of course makes sense, because your body says, well, you're not moving it fast anymore. We don't need these fast twitch muscle fibers anymore, so we'll let them waste away. And the example of that, of course, is as people are chronologically older and they haven't been active and their fast twitch muscle fibers have wasted away, if they trip over, those fast twitch reaction muscles that usually put our foot forward to stop us from falling, those muscles have wasted away, so then we fall over. And of course, the big challenge in the mature population is a challenge called falls. They fall over because their fast twitch muscle fibers have wasted away. Why? Because we stop moving fast. If we move slow, we only need slow twitch muscle fibers. If we just go for a walk, there's no reason to maintain those fast twitch muscle fibers. If we only lift light things, there's no reason for those fast twitch muscle fibers to stay strong. So there's a great question that I always ask. Do we get old because we stop exercising, or do we exercise because stop exercising because we get old? And it seems that we tell people stop exercising, stop sprinting, stop lifting heavy, stop moving fast because you're getting old. And I'm very aware of that, because that was one of the biggest challenges when my mother started doing boxing and running on the beach and aiming to go up and down stairs as fast as possible. She actually had doctors, GPs, and even members of her family telling her to slow down. Interestingly, if we slow down, our fast twitch muscle fibers waste away. Then we don't move fast, so our metabolism slows down. Our ability to sprint is reduced to zero because we haven't got the strength to do it. So everything becomes slower. We even talk slower, we act slower, and I think we think slowly because everything has slowed down. So what's fast got to do with anything? Well, those people that fidget, the people that talk fast, the people that sit up and down fast, the people that are constantly moving around fast, the people that don't necessarily do any exercise, they just do everything in their life really fast and their body is moving all the time because they're tapping their toe or they're wriggling their leg or they just can't keep still. Those people, when studied, are burning unit calorie measurement. They're burning somewhere between 800 to 2,000 calories more than a person who doesn't fidget, than a person that gets up slowly, moves around slowly, talks slowly, goes actively about their day in a very slow manner versus somebody who's doing everything really fast. And doesn't that just make sense? The faster you move, the more calories you will burn. Well, of course, that's the fact. And that's a lot of calories. That's a lot of extra food you can eat if you do things faster. So, great questions. How fast do you vacuum? How fast do you wash the car? How fast do you clean the windows? How fast do you walk the dog? It's let your dog off the lead and see what happens. Most dogs will now sprint. They don't want to walk, they want to sprint. Most kids, if you let them go, they don't walk around, they sprint. And it's interesting, there seems to be a great connection between lean people and fast movement. It's another one that's controversial, but just take a look. At sprinters, 100, 200, 400, even 800 meter sprinters versus walkers or swimmers. Even if you're a short distance swimmer, you're being supported by the water, so your body doesn't have to work so hard to push through gravity to support you in the upright position because the water's doing the supporting. When you walk really well, there's speed walkers who walk fast, but the human body, is it designed to go fast or slow? And if you sprint versus fast walk, which one's going to burn up more calories, which is going to give you a faster metabolism? And the really interesting one, which one is going to be burning fat faster when you're not exercising? And that's probably the most controversial one. There was a big lean for a long time, and there probably still is, slow down so that you burn fat rather than carbohydrate. So long, slow walking burns more fat. And that's true. Yes, you'll burn a percentage of fat. When I say percentage, you'll still burn a percentage of carbohydrate and a percentage of fat when you go for a slow exercise session. You may even burn a higher percentage of fat when you do a slow exercise session. There's a small challenge with that. The number of calories burnt is slow. It's small. In fact, it's tiny compared to sprinting. So if you were to go for a walk for an hour and measure the number of calories that you've burnt, you might have burnt a higher percentage of fat calories, but the overall calories that you've burnt is really small, 200, 300 if you're lucky. If you sprint, walk, sprint, walk, sprint, walk, when you're sprinting, yes, the predominant energy source is going to be carbohydrate. If you sprint really hard, it is going to be carbohydrate. So you won't be burning any fat at all when you're sprinting. But here's what's really exciting. After you stop sprinting, now you've got a really fast metabolism. And more importantly, when you turn your, and I always say turn your body into a fat-burning machine, but when you're really fit, so you turn your body into a fit machine, and your body gets used to every, for me it's four times an hour, but many times throughout the day or many times throughout the week, if this person is going to force me to use my half a kilo of stored carbohydrate, and that's all we store, just half a kilo, if I'm constantly sprinting, if I'm constantly lifting heavy, if I'm constantly overloading my body, and that the fuel source for that is carbohydrate, glycogen, glucose, all terms for carbohydrate, then, and I only store half a kilo of carbohydrate, my body says, well, I need to keep that for the sprinting. I need to keep that for the lifting. So the rest of the time during the day, we really want to be preferring to burn fat because we have an endless storage for fat. We have billions of fat cells. They've got the ability to increase in size, fill up with fat. So there's plenty of storage for fat. Woohoo! Depending on how excited you feel about that, it means that our body can keep getting fatter. You can keep putting food in there and your body will keep expanding. And I share that because have you ever wondered why? How is it possible for somebody to, for a body size to go from a 10 to a 20, or a body size to go from a 34 inch waist to a 150 inch waist? How does that even happen? Well, isn't it interesting that those fat stores can expand and they keep expanding, and when they get too big, they just split and become another fat cell? Well, we don't have that storage system for carbohydrate. Once our carbohydrate stores are full, the body says, well, what am I going to do with the rest of this carbohydrate if you keep feeding it too much? So now it's going to convert that carbohydrate into fat, and you'll keep getting fatter. But if you are a fat-burning machine, if you're really fit, your body says, okay, we're going to conserve the carbohydrate for sprinting because this person keeps making us get puffed. So what we're going to do with the rest of their time is we're going to change a respiratory quotient, which is the percentage of fat burnt to carbohydrate, and we're literally going to turn this body into a fat-burning machine. I'm going to wrap that up. When you exercise fast, you get a faster metabolism. When you exercise fast and hard, you burn carbohydrate, which then turns your body into a fat-burning machine. When you exercise fast and hard, you maintain your fast twitch muscle fibers, which means you will constantly be able to sprint and lift heavy because you have the muscle fibers to allow you to do that. If you slow down, your fast twitch muscle fibers will waste away, and so will your body, and so will your brain. And I say that sadly but passionately, because isn't it exciting that we don't have to have that happen? So many people think, I'm going to get old. Yes, we're all going to get chronologically old. That's absolutely true. But physiologically is a choice. If we slow down, we will get old. If we stop playing our sport, we won't be able to play our sport anymore. If we stop sprinting, we won't be able to sprint anymore. If we stop lifting heavy, we won't be able to lift heavy anymore because we'll be too bloody old, because we've allowed an old person to move into our body. But if we keep sprinting and we keep playing our sport, we keep lifting heavy and we keep thinking young and doing young person's things, most importantly, if we keep moving fast, is it possible that we will maintain our fast fat-burning body? We will maintain our fast twitch muscle fibers. We will maintain our body's ability to keep doing stuff fast, so that we can keep burning calories fast and we can stay as a fast-moving, energetic, passionate, excited human being, because we're not allowing our body to waste away. So as an exercise professional, would it be a really good idea to understand how those three energy systems work? The phosphate system and the lactate system, they're the two fast systems. Once we start working aerobically, we're going into the slow, long distance, long plod jogging, slow twitch muscle fiber. If we want our clients to get fit and stay fit, if we want them to get strong and stay strong, what do we need to understand about how the phosphate system works and how the lactate system works, so we can keep muscles and bones really strong, we can keep heart and lungs really fit, we can keep healthy bodies young for long? Isn't that what an exercise professional is meant to do? Keep the human body healthy, fit and strong for long. Bloody exciting to me. How about you?